Next on Gospel of Life, a look inside the Supreme Court. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined again by Janet Moran, our Associate Director. And we're going to talk about, well, the Supreme Court and oral arguments that were held on Wednesday, November 8th of 2006. Janet, those were the oral arguments about the partial birth abortion ban and the fact that this ban has been challenged by the pro-abortion forces and has been working its way up the ladders through the courts and is now again at the Supreme Court.
Right. Well, first of all, people have to understand that this is the ban that it was a law now that was passed
by Congress,
signed by the president into law. So it's basically something that's become the will of the people. They agree nationwide, polls, surveys, and everything else, that partial birth abortion should be banned.
And for those that, again, are not familiar with what this procedure is, the partial birth abortion procedure differs from other abortion procedures in the sense that it takes place during the birth process. In other words, delivery of the child is started.
That's right.
And in the process of that delivery, the child is killed. Some of the child, either the head in some instances, or the lower extremities of the body are delivered, child still alive, and then before the delivery is completed, an act is performed that kills the child. Often it's the insertion of scissors into the back of the head of the child that kills the child. So a particularly disturbing form of abortion, although when you look at abortions, they're all disturbing.
That's
I mean,
right.
the problem is we don't see them, and so we often do not know how horrifying they are. But the fact of the matter is there is a difference here because this procedure is using the birth process as the context in which this child is killed. So, as you say, vast majority of American people oppose this procedure and think it should be banned.
That's right. So now we have the pro-abortion lobby fought this tooth and nail, and now it's before the Supreme Court. And I know, you know, I was very privileged to be there with you, Father, in Washington, and you were lucky to be inside the Supreme Court. I was on the outside with so many Christians that were out there praying. Mm-hmm. The Women of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, we were there holding the signs, I regret my abortion, and just prayerful witness, youth groups, other pastors, priests, and ministers were out there. But you were lucky. You got to be inside, I think, for the whole 2 hours
of
the arguments.
I had a seat for the oral arguments for a couple of different reasons. First of all, our Washington, D.C. ministry and the National Pro-Life Action Center, National Clergy Council, and Faith in Action Ministries, together with Priests for Life and Gospel of Life, we submitted a friend of the court brief. In other words, when the Supreme Court is hearing an argument, not only does it hear from the two conflicting parties that brought the case about to begin with, but it also can hear from other organizations that are called Friends of the Court, and they submit a paper arguing either for the one side or for the other in the case. And so we submitted one of those friend of the court documents, and therefore that, you know, increases the likelihood that you can get in and listen to the arguments. The other reason, of course, is that I'm a member of the Supreme Court Historical Society, which is an organization that is open to the public to join. Mostly attorneys and judges are members of it. But people can join, and this organization helps preserve the historical record of the court. So in any case, there we were, and it was great to see the number of people who, as you mentioned, came to pray because people realize that this is an important moment. Now, some people will say, well, partial birth abortion, it's only a small percentage of all the abortions that take place, and if this procedure is banned, well, then they'll just kill the baby by another method. Yes, but the point, it's important not to miss what this means if this procedure is banned.
Right.
Number one, it means that for the first time since all abortion procedures were made legal in this country by the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, for the first time since then, the nation has banned an abortion procedure. What does that mean? It means that we're able to do so. It means that we have found the will to do so. It means that we're turning a corner, and it will have profound impact throughout the world, not just on the United States, but around the world as other nations look to us to see how are we dealing with the abortion problem. Well, now the United States has begun now to ban abortion procedures rather than to celebrate and protect them.
Well, sure, it's very easy to think that if you can ban an abortion procedure in the very late term of that, like at delivery, mm-hmm. well, then maybe the next step would be go back 1 month prior. And what about abortions in the 7th and 8th month? And then what about 6? So it's a beginning and a step of working our way back to banning all abortions.
And, of course, this is one of the arguments that the abortion people try to use against this is, oh, this is just the first step towards banning all abortions. Listen, this is what it is.
Right.
And no more and no less. But the fact is that, that if the American people want other abortion procedures banned, isn't that why the process of lawmaking exists? I mean, isn't that what self-government is about? If we come to the point where we say, no, we don't want these procedures because we didn't realize how barbaric they are. We didn't realize how damaging they are, not only to the baby, but to the mother, the father, the family, society. Well, yes, we do want these procedures banned. But in any case, the question here before the court is a very specific one. And let's talk a little bit about the a little bit more about the history of how we got here. The procedure is, as we explained, the child is killed in the process of delivery. Now, besides the public opinion, as you mentioned, being against this procedure, there is also the state legislatures. Some 30 states out of the 50 voted on a state level to ban this procedure. And this has been going on for the last 10 years. In 2000, the Supreme Court heard a case on partial birth abortion relating to the bans that the states pass, particularly the state of Nebraska, where there's an abortionist, Leroy Carhart, who does this procedure regularly. Well, what happened in that case was the court struck down the ban. Amazingly, because so many legislatures had passed it, public opinion wants it banned. Why did the court strike down the ban? Because the court said this ban, this prohibition, does not have an exception that would permit the procedure when the mother's health requires it. Now, there's a reason why they didn't put that health exception in there when they wrote the law, and that is that the way that the court defines health is so broad, so wide open, that the exception swallows the rule.
Right.
You have a health exception, and you don't have a law anymore. You don't have a ban. You don't have a prohibition. It would be allowed for anything. Depression, I'm worried, you know, I have anxiety over the birth of the child, et cetera, et cetera. I'm too young. All of this falls under the court's understanding of health. So that's one reason it didn't have a health exception. The other reason is even simpler than that. There's no health reason. There's absolutely no situation, no condition, no circumstance, no need for this procedure to occur to preserve the health of the mother. And here's the interesting thing, that through a decade of argument about all this, a decade of argument in the states, in the federal courts, at the Supreme Court, in the United States Congress, decade of arguments, not a single situation has been identified in which partial birth abortion is the only way to preserve a woman's health or life. Not a single instance. And we've been asking this question, we in terms of us as an organization and also we, the pro-life movement generally, have been challenging the other side all along to say, if you're going to claim this is necessary for health, give us an example of what in the world you're talking about. They haven't been able to do so.
Right. Well, now, if you could, Father, take us inside the Supreme Court. I mean, you got to go inside, and we know there were two new justices, right, are sitting there.
Yes.
I mean, what did you see when you first walked in? I mean, how does this all begin?
Well, the court is, if someone actually goes into the Supreme Court, they'll be surprised at how small it looks, because it is a relatively small room. The bench that the nine justices sit at, the chief justice is right in the middle, and then the other justices are arranged according to seniority. So the very newest judges would be at the far ends of the bench.
So, Robertson,
and
then
so
the new
Roberts
justice in the
was
center.
In the middle, and Alito was, as you're looking at the bench over at the far right. Justice Alito was completely silent during the arguments. He did not have any questions, probably for the simple reason that he didn't have any questions. He looks at this and probably is. Quite sure where he stands. Maybe he was silent also because, there's so much media speculation about how will the new justices
vote,
and will they move the court this way or that way on abortion? And you know, he probably didn't want to fuel all that media speculation. He was quiet. Justice Scalia was relatively quiet as well, although he said a few things during the course of the arguments. But it was 2 hours of argument because there were actually two related cases. And we'll go into that a little bit more after the break. But there were two different cases. I'll explain why there were two and what the differences were between the two. So, brothers and sisters, stay with us. We'll continue to talk about the Supreme Court and partial birth abortion. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome back. We're talking with Janet Morena about the Supreme Court's case now on partial birth abortion. And Janet, as we were saying, there were two cases. Right. The reason there were two cases was this. There were actually three decisions issued on the level of the circuit courts, the federal courts that are just below the Supreme Court, one out in San Francisco, one in Nebraska, and one in New York. In all three cases, judges issued decisions that said that this federal ban that Congress passed against partial birth abortion was unconstitutional. And they used some of the same reasons that the court had used in 2000 for striking down the ban that came out of the states, particularly Nebraska, namely that the law doesn't have a health exception. There were some other reasons, which I'll mention in a moment, but here's the difference. Congress enacted this law, this banning partial birth abortion, but together with the law, they issued findings. And Congress said, we're not putting a health exception into this ban because there is no health reason, as we were saying a few moments ago. Right. But Congress indicated that that was their finding after extensive investigation and expert testimony that they heard. So this was one of the differences. The other arguments that the pro-abortion side was using revolve around the question of vagueness and over-broadness, over-breadth, as the lawyers describe it, which means this, that the ban on partial birth abortion, they claim, actually bans other abortion procedures too. So that if a doctor is doing another procedure, he or she might be afraid that they're breaking the law, but they might not be sure. And that's where the vagueness argument comes in. What they're trying to say is the language of the law isn't clear enough. You don't really know what action is prohibited. And the argument they're trying to make all along was that when you say you're going to deliver the child partially alive outside the body and then kill the child, they're saying, well, some of these other abortion procedures take the child partially out of the body and the child is still alive and then you kill the child. The language in this ban that Congress passed is, however, clear in that it distinguishes the partial birth abortion from these other methods. And a lot of the argument in the court was revolving around that. Well, is the language clear enough? And how do you know the difference between this procedure and these other procedures? I don't think the abortion people made their case very well, to tell you the truth.
Now, you said there were two separate things being heard.
Yes.
What was the main point, though, that you would say with the thread going through it? Like, what were they saying? Like, why the ban should be upheld? Was there a common reason that they seemed to be hinging on?
Why the ban should be upheld would be a couple of reasons. That first of all, there's no reason not to uphold it. Because it's a barbaric procedure. It's not necessary for health. So the health question was going through all the arguments, but it's not necessary for health. And secondly, Congress said, and the Solicitor General, who was arguing on behalf of the law, emphasized this a number of times too. He said we have to draw in our society and in our law a bright line, a strong wall, a clear separation against between medical practice and infanticide. We can't, as a society, start slipping into infanticide where we're killing infants, fully born people. And this comes just too close, because the child is already partially born.
Right.
And so in order to make a clear, bright line, stopping the moral freefall that we're in, at the line of infanticide, we have to ban this procedure. And connected with that is the idea that it distorts the role of the physician. Is the doctor in our society one who brings health and life, or one who brings death? Or don't we know anymore the difference? And this is one of the key arguments. We have to ban this procedure. Not to mention the fact that most people in this country want it banned, the states want it banned, the Congress wants it banned, the president wants it banned.
Now, the justices themselves that did ask questions, what was their reasoning or thinking, or where were some of their questions going?
Well, one of the questions had to do with, Justice Breyer, for example, was saying, well, we have different doctors saying different things here. Some are saying it's necessary, the procedure. Others are saying it's not. What are we supposed to do, count the number of doctors on each side? You know, he was asking about this. And, one of the answers that came back was, well, look, Congress has already looked into this. We are not expecting you, Justice Breyer, or any of the justices, we are not expecting you to make a medical judgment here. The fact of the matter is Congress has listened to testimony from doctors, and they are submitting to the nation here, and they're submitting to this court their findings. It is reasonable for the court to give deference to the findings of Congress and to say, because Congress has investigated this and they are a co-equal branch of government, we judge that they have acted reasonably in making these findings, and therefore, no, we don't have to count doctors and do all of that. Nor is it necessary or reasonable to think that there would ever be 100% unanimous opinion in the medical community on just about anything. The point is that not that there has to be 100%. The point is that there has to be a substantial agreement that this is not necessary for health, and that's what Congress found.
Now, what about Justice Ginsburg? I mean, she's always gone against life in any case that's ever come before the court.
In terms of abortion.
Sort of abortion. What were the kind of things she was asking?
Well, she was asking along these same lines about the question of health. But, you know, not all her questions were friendly towards the pro-abortion side either, because, you know, the justices were really, see, because the abortion people, they're really trying to stretch this to the point of essentially saying, well, you know, even though the procedure is described in the law, you really can't tell the difference between this procedure and the other abortions. And I found the justices to be somewhat skeptical of that. Well, you know, isn't this clearly saying you deliberately start the delivery, you perform an overt act to kill the child while the child is still alive, and then you complete the delivery?
Right.
That's different from an abortion procedure that kills the child inside the womb. You don't start a delivery process. You kill the child. So the justices were by no means expressing an unqualified acceptance of the arguments of the other side.
All right, in the final few minutes we have left, Father, seconds, what's your prediction? How do you think this is going to come down?
Well,
if you had a guess.
Predicting the court is a very dangerous and tricky thing. You know, you really never know in the end. You ultimately just don't know. And this decision, you know, may come out sometime by the end of June, maybe before that. But what I can say is that there is, on my own part and the part of many of the legal experts that were there, a cautious hope and optimism that we'll get a 5-4 decision in our favor upholding the ban.
Well, we have to keep
we'll
this
see
in
if
prayer.
That comes true. Yes. We do have to keep it in prayer, and we have to keep our whole nation in prayer, that we'll start moving away not only from partial birth abortion, but from all abortion, because none of it is necessary. Thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters. We'll keep you up to date on our website on partial birth abortion and also about this case. Go to gospeloflife.com. And now stay with us for our action segment.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Most people oppose abortion. But unfortunately, too many think it's none of their business if someone else chooses abortion. But my friends, it is our business. Because after all, ours is the business of love. Whenever another human life is in danger or in need, we have to help them. And the very same reason we intervene for victims of poverty, drug abuse, crime, or war is the reason we intervene to save our unborn brothers and sisters. None of our business? Anytime someone's life is about to be taken, that's our business. Never be afraid to speak up. Never feel out of place to defend the unborn. They are your business. Welcome to our action segment, where I'm joined by Janet Moran, our associate director, and we have a special painting to tell you about today that you can promote in order to spread the pro-life message. Janet?
Yes, the painting is called Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. And this painting was done by the artist Carol Hall. And she actually is an evangelical missionary. And her husband currently are in Japan, where they're doing bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to missionaries as a missionary spirit in Japan. But she painted this painting a number of years ago, made it available to us at Gospel of Life. And we've now created a great poster of this painting. And her hope is that it will help spread the message of the damage abortion is doing, the killing of the children. And we'd like to encourage people now to take a look at this poster. And as we're describing it, I'd like them to think of ways and places that they might hang this inspiring painting and really get people to think about the abortion issue and what is going on.
Basically, the photo is divided into two scenes, Earth's scene on the bottom and Heaven's scene on the top. Earth's trash, heaven's treasure, refers to babies. And you see at the bottom a garbage bin where outside of an abortion mill where babies who have been aborted are literally thrown away. And we know that this has literally happens. The babies thrown away on Earth are nevertheless received by Jesus, named and welcomed into the playground and the nursery of heaven.
And that's what you see there, you know, in the painting, is that the angels are taking the babies out of the dumpster, basically, and bringing them up to the Lord Jesus, wrapped in a yellow blanket, signifying God's glory. And there's the Lord there welcoming the babies into heaven.
Now, besides that contrast between earth and heaven, you also see another contrast right within the scene on earth. Because while the abortion mill is a place of sadness, and you see the girl who's leaving has sadness on her face, and we've talked very often on Gospel of Life about the sadness that abortion brings, nevertheless, next to, across rather, from the abortuary is a toy store full of life and joy and surprises. And in front of the toy store, you see a green tree blossoming. But on the other hand, the tree in front of the abortuary has no leaves on it and no life.
Right. And then, of course, you know, as the Lord Jesus is accepting the babies up into heaven from the angels, he's giving them each a name and blessing them. And while those children had no name on earth, they now have a name with the Lord in heaven.
Now, how can people use a beautiful painting like this?
Well, you know, so often people say, well, you know, we don't want to have a pro-life billboard here in our church, or we don't want to have a poster in a school. It might upset people. But this painting is so pleasing to the eye, so beautiful to behold, yet it gives such a powerful imagery that they can put this in their church vestibule, in their school hall, in their center where they have a collation after services, as many places as they can think of. This poster can hang, and there, just people gazing upon it itself, it will get the message across about what abortion is doing to these children.
If they contact us directly at gospelofliife.com, we can send this to them in any quantity that they wish.
That's right. And at the same time, getting that poster from us at the same time helps support the missionary work of the Evangelical Church in Japan, Carol Hall. We still, you know, make a little small donation to her, too. And so, therefore, they're actually supporting missionary work in Japan at the same time, plus giving a pro-life message.
The painting can be viewed more extensively, and the written explanation that we've just briefly touched upon can be read in its fullness on our website, again, gospelofliife.com.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. If you want to listen to our programs online, you can receive the audio of Gospel of Life on gospelofliife.com. And also, when you go to our website, you'll see that you can send us your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your witnesses and testimonies, and we may well call you back and have you as a call-in guest on our program. Go to gospelofliife.com, and you'll see how to reach us. Also, brothers and sisters, we rely on the financial help of people just like you to get these programs out, to assist spreading pro-life literature to the churches, beautiful paintings like the one we've described to you today, and many other works that are saving lives from the tragedy of abortion. So consider Gospel of Life Ministries as part of your giving for the kingdom of God. We thank our friends at Life Dynamics for letting us use their studios here in Denton, Texas, and we invite you to join us again next week on Gospel of Life. Spread the word to your family and friends, and let's pray for one another.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked, and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospelofliife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.